I want to talk to four groups of people today. I want to talk to the veterans here, like grandparents and great-grandparents. I want to talk to parents, and then I want to talk to sons and daughters, and then I want to talk to singles, adults married without kids. All right? Parents, sons and daughters, single adults married without kids. Four groups of people. Here we go.
Well, if you fit anywhere in one of those categories, today's message is for you. Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, a message entitled A Family Affair, where we'll learn about three different types of families we are all a part of and how they can shape our eternal destiny. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled A Family Affair.
Well, good morning. Let's take out our notes today as we continue talking about in our series Blueprint about building our futures and how today determines our tomorrow. Now, every single one of us has been given a future. It may be counted or measured in years, months, maybe just days, but regardless, each of us has been given a future. A future which is a gift from God. A future is filled with potentiality, possibilities, dreams, imaginations. And just think, if we could take all of our futures just represented in this room and out under the Ohana tent, and if we could just take our futures and put them together with all of its potentiality and possibilities, we will have everything here in this room that God wants our church to accomplish right here in our futures. It's there. But what you do with that future is very important because you see, your future is a gift from God. What you do with that future will be your gift to God. Some people say, well, you don't know the cards that I've been dealt, Wayne. It's just not that good. It's really not about the cards that you've been dealt that will determine your future. It's how you play those cards that will determine your future. It's not your cards, it's how you play them. And so we're gonna talk about exactly how to do that. Now, if some people wanna know who I am and about my life, you know, the best thing to do is not to ask me, it's to ask my family and my wife. And the reason I want you to know that is because the most important factor, the most foundational building block to your future is not how you relate to your job. It's not how you relate to your money. It's how you relate to your family, because that's the truest part about us. Isn't that right? If you want to know about me, don't ask my boss. Don't ask my friends. Ask my wife. Interview my kids. They'll know. The family is that group that is filled with the complex interaction of laughter and tears, pleasures and pain. The family is that part of your life out of which comes your future, your family. It's that complex unit in life. In fact, I was reminded about the story of how complex families are sometimes. This dad was coaching his son's little league team. And so he's the coach. His son is probably in the fifth grade. In the middle of the game, about the sixth inning, the father has this concerned look, and the coach calls his son over and he says, you know, if we're going to win, we've got to do it as a team. Do you understand that? He said, mm-hmm. And we've got to do this together. We've got to help each other. Do you understand that? He said, yes, I understand that. So when you're up to bat and the umpire calls that a strike, you cannot say to the umpire, hey, you blind bat. He said, yes, I understand that. And when you are thrown out at first base, you cannot attack the umpire and cuss him out. Do you understand that? Yes, he said, I understand that. And then the coach looked up at the grandstand and said, so go over there and explain this to your mother. Family. So today, we're going to be talking about family. A family affair. Now, even in America, family values is a very important issue. Did you know that even in the Republican platform, foremost, it says here's the first paragraph of the Republican Party platform. Foremost of all institutions is the American family. It is the foundation of our society and the first level of self-government. Pretty good, isn't it? However, in the last 20 years, you and I know that we in our society have been living in a family values vacuum. We're basically in this permissive society. Everyone wants to do basically whatever they want to do, and they call it their freedom. And because of that, we are now reaping the consequences of it. Here are some of the consequences. Every 30 seconds now, and watch the attack on the American family. Every 30 seconds, someone divorces in America. Every fourth child is born to a single mother and now a fatherless family. U.S. News just reported that 50% of America support gay marriages rather than traditional. 15 million children have been aborted, and we have a fatherless generation. Startling statistics, but I want you to take a look at some of these, and these aren't mine. This is secular polls that are being taken. 63% of youth suicides come from a fatherless home. That's five times the national average. 90% of all homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. That's 32 times the national average. Here's an interesting one. 80% of rapists come from fatherless homes. 80%. That's 14 times the national average. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 9 times the average. And watch this. 85% of all youths in detention homes or in prison come from fatherless homes. That's 20 times the average. And guess who's paying for all of that? Smile, you're on candid camera. See, it's our taxes. So do you think we're paying for the consequences of that? Yeah, I bet a lot of the reason we are in the recession and financial struggle we are as America is because of the consequences of our society, the permissive society. When you obey God, He prospers you. When you don't, the nation suffers. Well, family values. If you take a look at, and even in the recent election, even the candidates will show up with their spouse and kids because they want to communicate, we have family values. But the question is, whose values? Whose family values? If you take a look at television today, which of the television shows are espousing true family values? What are you going to pattern it after, your family after? Simpsons? Or maybe Ozzy Osbourne's family? Or maybe the Kardashians? It's like, where are our family values going to be communicated? Hey, by the way, if your family, you say, yeah, my family's probably kind of like one of those. How would you describe your family with a television show? You say, well, what best describes my family? Yeah. Yeah, you say, well, my family's really weird. They're really strange. So I call your family the Addams Family. Yeah. You say, well, my family fights. They just fight like cats and dogs. Yeah, you're the Hatfield and the McCoys is what you are. Well, oh, man, my parents, they're like Ozzy and Harriet. And we are the Brady Bunch. We're a good family. Someone else might say, my dad's Ozzy, but it ain't Ozzy and Harriet. Well, I've still been looking for the ideal family. Where is the ideal family? So I looked high and low to find the ideal family in America, and I finally found them. Mr. and Mrs. Ideal, and they have two ideal boys. They think alike. They do everything the same. Everything is just so unified. Here's their most recent portrait. In other words, there are no ideal families. You say, Wayne, my family's not very good. In fact, I hurt to even think about it. Or you might say, My kids are prodigals. They're off somewhere. Does that disqualify me from my future? Well, you need to know two things about God. Number one is this: God loves prodigals. If you think about it, he dedicated one whole chapter in the book of Luke to prodigals. Lost sons, lost coins, lost sheep. Luke chapter 15. God loves prodigals. You say, but my kids are kind of rebellious. Yep. The second thing you need to know about God is this: even the most perfect father has rebellious children. Don't look to your left nor to your right. So we're going to talk about family today and God's purpose for family. And one of the things you must learn about family, regardless of what kind of family you have, Adam's family or any other, here's what you need to know about family. Family will always be a long-term investment. It's not short-term. In our society, because we're impetuous and impatient, we want everything now, now, now. So when the stock goes down, we bail out. Family is like long-term stocks. You look at it for the long term. So if it goes up, you rejoice. If it goes down, you just hang in there because it'll probably go back up. That's just how it is. But take a look at all of the dips, all of the lower side. If those all became places to bail out, look at the amount of times you'd want to bail out in your lifetime. And that's where the divorces come. That's when people bail out of one another. You've got to take family as a long-term thing. Long-term. When I met Anna, there was not much happening. And so she had to take me for the long term. Because there's going to be, in fact, my car, when I picked her up with my car, I tell you, arguably, my car could have won the ugly car contest of the world. And when it was going down the road, it looked like it was melting. It was just the ugliest thing. It was a hybrid. It was a hybrid between Frankenstein and a backhoe. So it looked pretty bad. But so when she met me, she had to take me for the long term. In fact, you want to know how I proposed to her? You want to know? How many of you would like to know? All right, here's how it went. I sat her down and I said, "Darling, I love you more than life. I want you to marry me. But I need you to know I don't have a yacht. I don't have a Rolls Royce. I don't have a lot of real estate holding and money like John Green does. But I love you and I want you to be my wife." She looked at me after pausing a bit and she said, "I love you more than life too. But before I say yes, could you tell me a little bit more about John Green?" I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I want to talk to four groups of people today. I want to talk to the veterans here, like grandparents and great-grandparents. I want to talk to parents. And then I want to talk to sons and daughters. And then I want to talk to singles, adults married without kids. All right? Veterans, parents, sons and daughters, single adults married without kids. Four groups of people. Here we go. First of all, I want you to write down that we will each have three families. How many? Three families. Three families, believe it or not. And we're going to unpack that right now. The first is, and I'm to which I talk to veterans, the first is your past or your family of birth. For some of you, it'll be your home right now. But for some others, like parents, it'll be your grandparents. Now, they may be living, they may not, but nevertheless, let's talk about the first is the place of your birth. As far as I know, every single one of us in here came from parents. You didn't crawl out from under a rock. As far as I know, you were born of parents. So it's your past. It is your family of birth. And now let me talk to grandparents or great-grandparents. If you are one of the kupunas here in New Hope, you have a role to play. Every family requires a patriarch, a spiritual patriarch or a spiritual matriarch. Someone who has gone before that has a measure of influence that looks out for the tinsel strength of the faith of the generations coming behind them. grandparents, can I say this to you? Your role is far more than being a free babysitter. Although you might settle for that, you are a patriarch. Somebody in your family has to be a spiritual patriarch or a spiritual matriarch so that you take an oversight to make sure that the ones coming up are walking with the Lord. The Bible says that. Let's read what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Go. Now, this is the commandment the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, so that you, your own spiritual fitness, and your son, first generation, and your
grandson.
Did you know, grandparents, me as a grandparent, I'm not done when I'm sure that my kids are doing good with God. I still have another role to play, my grandchildren. And so I watch them. When Anna and I care for them, we make sure that they're walking with the Lord, that they understand God. It's our role. So let me encourage you, grandparents, to make sure you understand that role. Now, some people say, well, Wayne, you know, I don't really have a good past. I don't, I'm trying to forget it. I know that, that's my past heritage, but it wasn't a good upbringing. What do I do? I know. Some people have come from pasts and they were neglected, rejected, used, even some abused. Some were helped, others were hindered and hampered and even hurt. But as I said, everyone has been dealt a hand of cards. And the one lesson that we must learn is we have to make the best of the hand that we've been dealt. It's how you play those cards. Yeah, but you don't know my past and the things that have hurt me. It's okay. You'll survive the worst things that hurt you. So long as, and would you write it down, you don't let those things that hurt you, don't you let them hold you hostage. See, they'll have hurt you, but if you let it hold you hostage, then you can't get off of your past. And when you do, you're bitter and angry at your past. One of the greatest victories you'll be able, that you need to win, is to make peace with your past. You make peace with your past because it's not the events of your life that will hamper your future. It's how you define the events of your life. Because if you take a look at successful people, they will have gone through the same and as deep of valleys and crevices as that you or I have gone through. But successful people will have redefined it so it gives them a boost and a motivation to move forward with greater strength rather than an excuse and a rationale to let go and succumb and give up. It's not the events of your life that'll determine your future as much as the way you define the events of your future. It's not the cards that you've been dealt that'll determine your future. It's how you play those cards. So make sure that you don't let your past take you hostage. So what do you mean, Wayne, by defining the past event? Oh, if my past is a bad past, I can call it a menace, or I can call it my maestro. You see, I can say my past is stalking me. Or I could say, my past is coaching me to be better. I could say, my past is a torture, or my past is a tough teacher, and I'm going to learn really well. See, it's how you define it. And folks, listen, you right now have the choice to assign whatever role you wanted to your past. Whatever name. Question is, what are you going to name it? Can I encourage you to make your past not a menace, but your mentor? Make it your mentor. You've got to decide once and for all to make it your mentor. Otherwise, it could be a horrible past, and it'll rationalize a horrible future. Don't you dare do it. Don't you dare do it. Some people have come through horrible things. When I grew up, I was young, and my father and mother went through a very, very messy divorce. It was some infidelity for many years, and I remember being a little kid jumping between my dad and mom because of the fighting and the hitting that was going on. I wanted to protect my mom. I still remember it in my mind, grabbing my mom and say, "Stop, don't hit her anymore." There was a divorce that took place, and because my mom wasn't working and she was on welfare, the kids were taken away, and we went with our dad, who was in the Army, because he could support us. But he had already remarried, and so there was a blended family. We didn't blend in very well. It was oil and water. So much so that it was so difficult that my family was, some of them were sent away one by one. I remember my brother being sent to the airport on standby, waiting to catch a flight from Japan back here to Hawaii. He waited 2 days because there were no flights open, all alone. He was 16 years old, waited 2 days in the airport. The third day, he caught an airplane. At 13 years old, I was given a suitcase of some clothes. I was put on the Greyhound bus 500 miles away to a boarding school. 13 years old, I waited in a bus station for a day and a half where I was molested because I'm a 13-year-old boy all alone. And I remember the pain of that. Came through, got kicked out of that school, started another school, dropped out of my second school. I had to finish by a GED course. And I look back on it now and I think, oh, I hated it. My dad was a very, very strong disciplinarian, and he would whip us every week just for good measure. And being such a strict military man, he was a first sergeant in the Army, I said that he disciplined me the way he would do it in a patriotic way, because he laid down stripes until I saw stars. I remember the many times I didn't want to go to PE so kids wouldn't see the welts. And some people say, "Wayne, if you could, would you change that? Because I bet you wanted to live in another family." There were a lot of times. I bet I thought about that 500 times. But after the years have gone by, I ask myself that question again. Would you have changed everything? You know, how many of you know that God knows the assignment that he has for you in 10 years and what's going to happen to your life in 10 years? How many of you? Yeah. So it's almost like the Lord rewound the tape and said, "Wayne, I wish I could do it another way. But I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to require a boatload of discipline, perseverance, and endurance. And you're going to come up short a lot of times. And man, I wish there's another way I could do this, but there isn't. You're going to learn it here because of the assignment that I'm going to give you there." And it was tough. But then later on, I see what God asked me to do. And I think, you know, I don't think I would have learned that fortitude, the endurance, the perseverance, the discipline any other way. You don't learn that in college. You don't learn that in sports. You learn that through hard knocks and suffering and pain. That's it. So I look at it and I think, you know, God, you knew what's best. You handed me a hand of cards. And I can't grumble about the cards. I just have to play them well. I've got to define it correctly. Because I know you know what I need. So would I change it? No. Oh, my flesh would love to, but no, I don't think I would. I think I'll stay because I've got to define my past as my mentor, not as my menace. And one of the greatest victories you'll ever come to is when you can make peace with your past. It's one of the keys to your future.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled "A Family Affair" by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker.com. spreaker.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with a click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. Now for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.